Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Good Areas Live. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is Varun Alvaconda, who you can find nowhere, even if you try to find him. He is pretty on the down low, I would say. And just before we get into this eventual preview of the Old Trafford test between England and India, I'd just like to tell you all of you guys that these podcasts are powered by our supporters on Patreon. You can become one of them by going to patreon.com/goodareaspodcast, and then you can enjoy ad-free content, talk to all of us exclusively, give us quick picks ideas, bother us randomly, all of that fun stuff. Anyway, Varun, it's a marquee series, 5-match test series between England and India in England. And England are currently 2-1 up in this Anderson Tendulkar Trophy. India now have to win both games to win the series. The next test match is in Old Trafford. And India have been spending time with Manchester United. How random was that?
Yeah, so weird, I think. I don't follow football a lot, so I don't care. But it was just such a, like, it seems to just like messed up with people's like brains a bit, because it's two different universes colliding for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not the sort of team you draw inspiration from currently, Manchester United. So I hope that Amorim hasn't rubbed off on Gigi, or, you know, Bruno hasn't rubbed off on Shubman Gill. But anyway, I mean, Man U fans will absolutely obliterate me after this one. I'm a Chelsea guy, so I mean, I don't care. But yeah, weird crossover. What I found funny was that there was this picture. No,
apparently both are sponsored by Adidas.
Oh, well, there you have it. I saw a picture of Siraj bowling to Harry Maguire, and I was thinking to myself, they're going to Bumrah saying, you can only play 3 out of 5 test matches. And then, Siraj, why don't you go bowl a 3-over spell to Harry Maguire? Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. Anyway, rain is in the forecast for this test match, Varun, pretty much throughout the entirety of this test match. And Manchester rain is famous for being, well, it's just notorious in a way that once it comes down, it doesn't really stop. We know this also from that Ashes test match between England and Australia, where England probably would have won that game if not for the rain. And does it kind of, scare you as an Indian cricket supporter?
I mean, like, I don't mind it, but, like, parts of me wants it to be rained out and India win the 5th test so we can have the moral win, like how England won the moral Ashes. So I'm just, like, from, like, the shithousery point of view, I do think it would be great for the good of shithousery. But, like, obviously, if you're in India, you don't want it to be a rain.
I think if you're a lover of test cricket, you don't want it to rain, because this has been such a high-quality series, right? And now that, you know, we are expecting the decks not to be as flat as they were in the first 2 test matches, I feel like it makes the series even more exciting. But what do you have to say about the surface? I generally don't like to look at these pictures of the deck 2 to 3 days prior to the test match, because, you know, it doesn't really tell you anything. And even if it looks green, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's going to hoop around or seam around. But, you know, if the weather is gloomy, what do you think is going to go down over here? You've probably looked at some numbers, right?
Yeah, so I was just looking at the numbers. So Manchester seems to be very weird in the fact that it alternates. Like, 1 year, it just seems to be flat, both in tests and counties. The other 1 year, it seems to be like bowling freely. This year has been flat. And interestingly, like, spinners have overperformed the fast bowlers. Okay. So the fast bowling average has been 42, and the first spinners has been 33. So we know that means Gautam Gambhir will not play Kuldeep Yadav.
I mean, honestly, if not now, then when, right? Like, I really feel for Kuldeep, because the man hasn't really done anything wrong, and he's averaging, what, 22 runs per dismissal in test cricket. I know it's a very small sample size, but we know that Kuldeep Yadav is an elite left-arm wrist spinner, turns the ball both ways. I think his wrong gun is better than his stock delivery. And, you know, I would have played him in every test match, and here we are at the start of the 4th test, and we still haven't seen Kuldeep. So it really does boggle your mind.
Yeah, definitely. But I also think that if he does play, they almost set him up for failure in a way. Because with the amount of hype he's getting, if he doesn't take like 20 wickets, he probably would have underperformed. Right, it's like, I do think, like, I feel like if he should have had like a test or two to get used to it at this point.
Yeah,
unfortunately for him.
I know what the rationale is over here from Gautam Gambhir, especially, is that, you know, they want a deeper batting lineup. But then my argument to that is that those runs that you're making up with your extra batter, you can eliminate via Kuldeep. And, you know, it's also the fact that you are opting to play a second spinner as is. You might as well play the better spinner.
Yeah, so the funny thing is they've not actually even extended their batting because they've traded number six runs within KR. So like, so they've,
it's true.
Both things didn't make sense. It's either like you, they either had to, let's say, have a like a Jurel or like Sai, one of those guys at six, and then have Washi at eight to deepen the batting, or let's say go, we'll have Kuldeep at eight, and then we'll have like a specialist at six, right? That's the way you should have done. But they, like, they're playing all three all-rounders, as I said, and saying in third innings as well. It just, they fucked themselves over a bit, right?
Yeah, and they basically kind of handicapped themselves in a way by not having one extra specialist batter, and then the same goes for a specialist bowler, right? And I mean, it worked out for them in the second test match because they didn't really need any bowling. Akashdeep and Siraj pretty much took matters into their own hands. They shared 17 wickets amongst each other. But I even mentioned during that game's review that this has worked now. It may not work tomorrow. And I've always felt very, very iffy with respect to that particular tactic. But yeah, I mean, if you've, you know, told us those numbers that, that leg spinners or wrist spinners have done really well, then there's no reason not to play Kuldeep Yadav. And even if he's not as potent in the first batting innings, you know, when it comes down to the second batting innings and there is rough to exploit, you'd rather have Kuldeep as opposed to Jadeja or Washington. And that's not to say that Washington is bad. Of course, he showed us how good he can be, right? In the previous test match at Lord's. But then again, I just, given the fact that, you know, barring Ben Duckett, Joe Root, and throw in perhaps a Jamie Smith, who can really play spin well in that English batting order?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like, England, again, also, their batting hasn't actually fired as much as I think you'd think it would. Right? Mm. They've been, like, you'd say they've been carried a bit by Jamie Smith at times. Yeah. Right? He's probably been the only batter who's consistently done well in every test match, right?
Mm. That's true. Very, very true. Anyway, of course, we know some more things with respect to potential lineups. And let's come to India first up. Plenty of injuries over there. I've heard that Nitish Kumar Reddy has been ruled out of this test series, and both of the deeps, you know, the pace bowling deeps are not available. Akashdeep is injured, as is Arshdeep. So they've brought in Anshul Kamboj as well into the test team. Where do you think they're going with respect to their pace attack? Because we know Bumrah is playing, right? Siraj confirmed today that Jasprit Bumrah will be featuring in the Old Trafford test. And then, of course, Siraj is there. Who is your third seamer, Prasad Krishna or Kamboj?
I think it's like, from what I've heard, it seems to be Kamboj. They seem, they want him in the team. Like, Arshdeep is gone as well, right? I don't know if they trust Prasad that as much as I think, like, they probably, like, did at the start of the series. So he's probably, like, gone down the pecking order, which is a bit weird, I think. It's like, okay, that, I don't blame them for it too much, I'd say. So we, what we really don't know is which direction India will go in with the number eight slot. Do they go Rogue and bring Shardul in for NKR?
I was about
to
say
that. And then have Jadeja 6, Washington 7, which terrifies the fuck out of me, by the way.
Yeah. Honestly, right? It's probably the most likely, you know, thing to happen with respect to that playing 11, because knowing Gautam Gambhir, from based on whatever we've seen thus far, he wants extra batting at 8. And with Shardul, you get neither. You don't really, you know, go deep with your batting lineup, and you don't strengthen your bowling stocks. So that would be diabolical if it happens. But I feel like there's every chance that this might happen, honestly. Like, Shardul may very well be part of that playing 11.
Yeah, definitely. Also, the other thing is, like, after the last test match, I think a lot of people were, like, certain Karan will be dropped. Will they drop him with this much uncertainty now?
That's
like, how many changes do you want to make in a test match, right?
Plus, I've made this, not plus, but, like, I've just made a random observation that there are three people within cricket who say, yeah, definitely a lot. It's Babar Azam, Shubman Gill, and Varun Alvaconda. Every time.
Of course.
I don't think they should drop Karun Nair. We've discussed this before, that he's essentially batting at three as a Shubman Gill delayer or a Gillier. And it's kind of sort of worked. I know he hasn't, like, scored too many runs, but he's, you know, spent some time out in the middle. And at times he's looked really good, right? In fact, you said that he has a very high ceiling and low floor as far as aesthetic brilliance is concerned, which I 100% agree with. So he should retain his spot. The other thing, or the news that has been buzzing, is that Rishabh Pant isn't fit enough to keep because of his broken fingernail or whatever. That means that India would kind of be forced to play Jurel at six then, and Pant plays as a specialist batter.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, figure if Jurel is, like, who bats at three in that case?
Karun retains his spot at three.
So you're saying that
NKR,
like, India
goes
won't
out,
have Jurel
comes in.
Eight. Okay, that's what I would do, but is that what Gambhir will do? Because if you're talking batting depth, like, Shardul at 8 versus Washington Sundar at 8, it's two very different situations, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that there's every chance that we'll see Shardul, but Jurel might just be a force change. And you know, maybe losing Nitish Kumar Reddy could be a blessing in disguise, because then again, you know, I always felt that having a specialist batter at six helps. Looking at Sarfaraz Khan and the weight that he's shed, he might be, you know, in contention for that spot in the next series. But then, like, I don't know. Because if Pant is fit to keep, then I feel like Gambhir might just go 6 Jadeja, 7 Washington and 8 Shardul if he wants to play Kuldeep. But I don't think he'll play Kuldeep with both of those guys in, right? You can't play Kuldeep, Jadeja and Washington.
No, I don't think so. Even for, like, I think, like, if there's a ground you want to do, it might be Old Trafford this year. But like that's probably too overkill, you'd say. Like, I also, like, I'm just not a fan of Jadeja at 6. I feel like I'm the only person in this world who has that opinion at this point in time.
I feel like if there's a guy who scored 4 half centuries on the bounce in these conditions, then surely he could bat number 6.
Yeah, I think he's in great batting form. I just don't know, like, if I want that as a long-term solution. Maybe as a stopgap, sure. Like, like, I don't mind it too much. There's so much weirdness with that team, man, I swear.
Yeah. Anyway, can you bring up this comment by Musical Labs? He says that these guys are harping on about Sarfaraz Khan because he's Muslim. Varun, can you share his first class numbers with me?
What was it? Is he averaging like 70 or something?
He's averaging an insane number. And he kind of bats in that middle order and lower middle order as well. So, I mean, I don't know what you're harping on about over here, Musical Labs. Perhaps
also,
you should
I'm not
stick
even
to
Muslim.
The
what's your point?
Like, yeah, Varun, reason Varun's that? Hindu. So, yeah, and this is good areas. We don't give a fuck about these things. Anyway, so there's that whole number 6 debate, right? And what else is there? I feel like everyone else kind of picks their own spot, right? You've got Jaiswal and Rahul up top. I would stick with Karun Nair at 3 because I don't think he's done all too badly, even if the runs aren't there. Then Shubman Gill at 4, Pant at 5, and potentially Jurel at 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if the team are maybe looking at Sai coming back in. Like, did Sai get injured or did Sai injure someone? I think Sai injured Ashdeep. I don't know. Oh. I don't know if he's gotten injured himself or not, from what I've heard, right?
Anyway, so then you've got Dhruv Jurel at 6, and then maybe Jadeja 7. Yeah, that's where I would, like, probably think about not playing Washington. Because I would go Bumrah, Siraj, another seamer, and Kuldeep. I'm going for 20 wickets.
Yes, I agree with you. Like, if you have Jurel at 6, I completely get it. I think that it probably works, right?
But they're probably going to go Jadeja, Washington, Shardul.
Shardul.
And then 3 other seamers.
Yeah, so what would be Kamboj? Kamboj, I think, is a fine number 9. I think he make runs recently? I think he's okay.
Like, he's also going to be a debutant, Varun, and there's a certain pressure that comes with making your test debut. That too in such a series.
So you say
that,
but, like, it's usually debutants are the ones who cause a lot of chaos in the history of test cricket because no one knows how to play them.
That's also fair. So it's going to be very fascinating to see what sort of direction India go with respect to their starting 11. And we haven't been entirely pleased with their tactics thus far. But, you know, this series is still up for grabs. India could very well win this series 3-2 if things go their way. And I mean, at this point, you'd probably assume that Bumrah will play both these upcoming test matches.
Yeah, he has to play them, right? Yeah.
I think only a pretty serious injury would stop him from that. If there is a niggle, they'd probably just roll with it because India's next upcoming assignments, aren't as steep as this particular one. So Bumrah has to play both test matches. And if he doesn't, Sunny G is going to be pissed. Anyway.
We just hear lots of the modern bowlers are just soft thing again.
Anyway, I think that's enough on India. We'll be taking a short break. You guys are watching Good Areas Live with Behram and Varun. And once we're back in like half a minute, we'll be talking a bit about England. So go nowhere.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Welcome back to Good Areas Live. You guys are with Behram and Varun. And before we move on to England, let's take that super chat that we have and see if we can quickly answer that and then move on. All right. Navdeep Singh Bajaj has a question. He says, thoughts on new Champions League T20 not having a Pakistan team. Is there any confirmation around that? I know that the Cricketer dropped that article and they didn't specify that. I mean, I'm not saying this couldn't happen. I'm also like kind of agreeing with you that it could very well be the reality. But then again, I haven't read anything. Or maybe you know more than me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I heard some news that they want it to happen. I think ECB might be the one who wants it to happen, like, if I'm not mixing it up. Yeah,
plus,
like,
if they ultimately get the Saudis to fund this tournament, then it should be easier to have a Pakistan team. I don't know. Look, I don't even want to say spirit of cricket because that's such a overused term now. In the best interest of franchise cricket, the PSL champions should be there because all the top leagues, like whoever wins those leagues should compete in that tournament. But as we all know, you know, there is not a lot of equity in cricket and it can, you know, there is a lot of muscle flexing and people getting stuff the way they want it. So I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't no Pakistan team, but it would be disappointing.
Yeah, like also, like I still don't know how the league works with, it's not even like a question, like earlier was like the same players and everything. Now the coach, there's so much overlap in coaching stuff as well. Like, so what, how's that going to work? Like how many teams are they going to coach at the same time, right?
Also, there are multiple franchises, T20 franchises, which are literally like the same franchise, but they have different teams in different leagues, right? So how does that work? Like, let's suppose Trent Bolt, you know, is playing for one of the Mumbai teams. Which one is he playing for? Am I what, right? Who gets to decide that? It's going to be pretty hodgepodge, I suppose.
But let's be fair, the answer is always the IPL first.
Yeah, of course, of course. But then again, I still feel even if we can have a broken Champions League T20, having one would be nice, right? Because that is the natural evolution of franchise T20 cricket and it would draw in scores of spectators and TV viewership. Everyone's going to be watching that tournament. So I feel like there's a lot of, untapped potential in the idea. And in an ideal world, you should have all the champions, right? The SA20, throw in the goddamn MLC for all I care, right? And the ILT20 and the PSL and IPL and Big Bash, the Hundi.
Yeah, BPL. Speaking of spectators, like not having a PSL team would mean you just alienate Pakistan's viewer base, right?
Yeah, you kind of do. And like I probably still would end up watching it because we probably cover it. But for those of like for all those people who actually don't have to watch cricket for a living, why would they tune in, right? I would completely understand the boycott as well. I wouldn't ask them to tune in, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to England and Varun. I'm confused, man. You know, like, in this last test match at Lord's, we saw England win the toss and Ben Stokes opted to bat. He had only done that once before in his entire captaincy tenure in that Edgbaston test versus Australia, the first Ashes test, which Pat Cummins helped Australia win. It was a heist. And then they don't even bat the baseball way. They don't baseball at all, you know, with the bat. And sure, the conditions might have had a role to play with that, but now they haven't announced their starting 11 and we are less than 2 days away from the Old Trafford test. And this is just all really making me lose my shit.
Yeah, so they didn't do it for the last test match, which made sense because there was, I think, like 3 days between the two.
Yeah.
This is like, we have had like about 8 days between the two test matches, so there's enough time. So, like, unless they're all just drunk at like a golf course somewhere, I don't know why that team hasn't been announced.
Honestly, that's...
like, maybe there is a change.
That's also something that could be quite likely. We know that they've gone to Dubai mid-tour to get drunk on a golf course before, right? When they toured India. Look, I mean, I personally am not a fan of announcing the team. I think that you can announce the team within your dressing room and to the world, you just do it right after the toss. But England have made a habit out of this. In fact, I have to plan my content around all of this crap. That, oh, they might announce their team, so I have to preview the goddamn test match before that or after that. And you would be surprised at the amount of times where I've been at Pro Sports. We've recorded a goddamn hour-long podcast. And mid-podcast, they'd release the team. And you'd come out of the podcast and you'd be like, oh, fuck. You know? Like, it's happened so many times. And you know how I told you to like, hold on for this preview. And we'll do it once we know the team. But if they didn't announce it at the presser, they're not announcing it then. That's what I get.
Yeah, it's absolutely stupid to announce it days in advance. Why would you give the opposition a chance?
Right? I have and also, no like, idea why teams do that.
Want social media onslaught before the test match anyway, in case you make questionable selections, right?
I mean, Pakistan has done it a few times too, and it bothers me. But this time, it's bothered me in reverse because I was sure that they are going to announce their team today, right? Like, I'm telling you, we plan our shows with respect to all of this now. That, oh, can't do it 2 days before. Either go 3 days or 1 day. But they haven't. And that is very unlike in England. And we've seen a lot of things which are very unlike England. So it is rather peculiar for the Baz Ballers. But then again, I feel like they've kind of got their work cut out for them with respect to picking a team. Surely Liam Dawson comes in, right? I mean, because Shoaib Bashir has broken his finger on his left hand. So he's been ruled out of the series, which might even be a blessing in disguise, because Dawsey is a slow left armer who has heaps of experience under his belt, and he can bat. So that might just work out.
Yeah, like the one matchup I'm dying to see is Pant versus Dawson.
That would be quite brutal. For Dawson,
like Panther's peak, left arm finger spinners don't matter in Test cricket. So it will be box office. It's he's either going to get out a lot or just smash him to retirement. Like one of those things will happen. Like I'm so excited to see which one it will be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be keeping a very, very keen eye on Liam Dawson, because I have been kind of singing his song for a bit. He brings a lot to the table. He has been underutilized by England, and he is quality. I've seen him play cricket, and this guy is a very, very handy cricketer. And it's not like, you know, there's a plethora of spin bowling options within England. It could have been Rehan, it could have been Jack Leach, perhaps Tom Hartley, and then you've got Liam Dawson, and I think they've picked the right guy over here. But yeah, I feel like he walks into the team, and he, of course, replaces Bashir. And can you bring up this comment by DOF? The first one, the Chris Wokes one. So DOF
says,
the corpse of Wokes has to go out, a bit too dark. I do agree with this though, because I thought Wokes would run riot in this series, and pretty much the opposite has happened. He's had a couple of good bowling innings in which he's ended up with like 3 wickets or so, but he hasn't been consistent enough. He hasn't been quick enough. And I mean, he's kind of looking like a liability in that starting 11 at this point. So personally, I don't know what they're going to do, but personally, I would drop him for Gus Atkinson, just to kind of try Atkinson out at this point. Jofra plays, has to. Again, England really, really need that express seamer who can kind of become an enforcer and take up or you know, take new ball wickets as well. And then, of course, there is the question of Brydon Carr. He's been impressive in tiny patches. There'll be a few spells that he does really well, and particularly that spell at the end of day 4 at Lord's was really good, right? Where he got Karun Nair and Shubman Gill. But I feel like Carr is going to, I don't know, evaporate or break down if they play him another test match or four.
Yeah, his knees might snap off if he plays this one, right?
Yeah, surely he gets injured now if he plays this one. So I think they're going to have to play Josh Tung then. They're probably forced into that corner as well.
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
So DOF is saying they've announced the side.
Oh, are you kidding me? Have they? See, this happens all the time, guys.
They have announced the side. Once, give all me right. a second. I'm just going to pull it up.
Tell me
so,
what
Zach
the side
Crowley,
is. Okay. Expected.
Zach Crowley, Ben Duckett, mm-hmm. Ollie Pope.
Oh, they've
Joe
gone with
Root,
Pope then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Harry Brook, mm-hmm. Ben Stokes,
alrighty.
Jamie Smith, Liam cool. Dawson, Chris
yep.
Wokes.
Okay then.
Brydon Carr, Jofra Archer. That is a bad
what?
Deep team.
This is not a smart team. I know that there's been a lot of, or there have been a lot of days in between, but goddamn, they're playing Carr another test match. They're really risking his body at this point. Chris Wokes hasn't been that good to retain his spot. Maybe Atkinson isn't match fit yet, so they didn't have options. Jofra expected to play, and this team, what, bats still 10? Or all the way through, does it? It bats all the way through.
Yeah, well, almost all the way through,
yeah.
Right? You take Jofra's batting as well, isn't it?
If Jofra Archer is your number 11, that is a very, very deep batting lineup, right? Because I was arguing that if you play Dawson, you don't need Wokes' batting, right?
Mm.
Theoretically.
Yeah, fair. Agreed.
I'm just happy we did India first and left England for later, because this has happened mid-podcast. It's hilarious. Another thing that they probably could have done is drop Ollie Pope. He has retained his spot. We all know that he is a very weird cricketer, in the sense that his batting record in the second batting innings of a test match, so third and fourth, is like he's averaging less than 20 runs per dismissal. So he's worse than Roston Chase. Just kind of, and not just worse by a little, like 6-7 runs per dismissal. He's worse than Chase.
Yeah, we have a video on him soon. It might be tomorrow.
Yeah, there is an Ollie Pope video coming out. And then he has that whole stat where once he crosses 30-odd, he averages 80-odd. I can't remember the exact numbers. And all of his runs mostly ever come in the first inning. So I thought that there's a lot of risk with respect to playing Ollie Pope, because he's kind of not done anything ever since that ton that he got in the first test match. And they've stuck with him. Crawley, I expected them to stick with, right? Because it's not like they've got a replacement lined up and they only play him because he could potentially give them a start, right? They already know that. But with Pope, I mean, where are you at with this?
Yeah, I don't mind Pope sticking around, just because like no number three has made any runs. Even like if you remove his numbers versus Zimbabwe and Ireland, he's still averaging like 35, which from the modern number three, you would take.
You like, would, actually. I don't know. He's a good fielder.
And as you
said, a backup
wicket keeper. I'm surprised Crawley's around, if anything. Like yeah, maybe they don't want Duckett and Bethel opening.
Who is the replacement for Crawley? Dom Sibley?
I assume Bethel
could probably function better as a false number three. I actually wanted that to happen. I wanted them to replace Ollie Pope with Jacob Bethel.
Yeah.
But they haven't done that either.
I think that's fair.
Interesting. Anyway, you guys let us know in the comments as well what you would have done with the starting 11. I think I would have stuck with Crawley and Duckett, because I feel like Crockett as a partnership has worked in this era of baseball. And it's actually one of the unsung factors which has contributed a lot to their success, whatever success they've had. And Pope, for me, didn't retain his spot. I wanted Bethel in. And we even spoke about this in the preview, Warren, if you remember, that Ollie Pope might lose his spot mid-series, and they haven't done that. So they've stuck with pretty much the same team. The only change over here is Shoaib Bashir out and Liam Dawson in.
Yes. I believe that is the case.
They've done nothing else. Was Sam Cook a part of the squad for the fourth test match?
No, I think they removed him from the squad, right?
So he could have been someone who potentially could have replaced Chris Wokes as well. But you might as well play Josh Tung then, even if Gus isn't fit, because what has Wokes done?
Didn't they remove him from the squad as well, or did they remove Overton?
I can't remember, but I think Cook might have lost his place in the squad. He was a part of the squad till the last test match. I think they might have removed him for
the fourth interestingly,
one.
About Crawley and Duckett, I was looking this up earlier today. Bumrah's averaging 72 in the first 15 overs this series. He's not taking any new ball wickets.
That's
crazy. Even in the first 30 overs, he's averaging 50. I think other seamers, it's like 32, 33. But with the older ball, he's averaging 22, when no one else is taking any wickets. The other team is averaging 60. That's crazy. Really, Bumrah's insane.
It's why
we think he's first change, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was completely with you where I thought that they should open the bowling with Akashdeep and Siraj, and Bumrah could come first change. And also, Varun, you know that how the lacquer slightly comes off after like 10, 12 overs and the ball swings a bit more? So use Bumrah, right? I mean, it kind of makes sense to me, but they haven't gone that direction. And you're right. Every time that England start their batting innings, like there's been that one time where he got Crawley in the first over, and that might have been it.
Yeah, that was the only wicket in the first 15 overs he's got this series. It's crazy.
That is insane.
And also, I was talking to Shayan about this. He made an interesting point. If India win the series, does that count as a series win for Bumrah? Because he'd be 2-2.
No, of course it does. When you're part of the team, it's the collective success of the team that matters. I mean, Shardul would have even won the series, Varun. forget Bumrah. But yeah, okay then. Not completely satisfied with the team that England have gone with. But then again, let's not forget that we had like over a week between test matches. So, you know, you'd hope that the likes of Ben Stokes are well-rested. Bryden Cass, for his sake, I hope he's well-rested. And yeah, then you've got Wokesy once again, who will take the new ball with Cass. No, Jofra. With Jofra. Cass is first change.
I think that's the other reason they stuck with Wokes. They don't have a new ball bowler otherwise.
Yeah, that is also very, very fair. That's probably why they could have like potentially retained Sam Cook in the squad and given him a game. Because, you know, it was a flat deck at Trent Bridge, bro. You know, when he played Zimbabwe. So
I guess their logic is... If Zimbabwe handled them well, India would, right?
you can imagine India's batters playing way outside their crease and negating the wobble seam altogether, right? So that's something they could have done anyway. All right, then. I don't think there's much else to discuss. What's your prediction for this game?
I want India to win, but I'm going to say rained out.
Yeah, same. I think it's going to be a draw because I looked at the weather forecast and it's looking very, very damp, guys. I think there was cloud with a drop of rain every single one of those days.
Now, checking it. So there doesn't seem to be that, weirdly enough. Oh. It's only Wednesday, Thursday. So on Wednesday, it's raining from like 3 onwards. And then on Thursday, it's raining in the morning. So again, the thing with the UK is you don't know. It could rain at any point at a given time. So it's
maybe we get lucky, but we also know that
it would be just wrong if we had an English summer without a washout. I'll be honest. Yeah. I'm really hoping for a 3-day test match. I don't think we'll get it, but that's what I'm really hoping for.
Well, let's suppose the first day gets washed out in its entirety. We'll get more overs every other day, right?
Yeah. With this rover radar, does it matter?
Yeah. Atul Singh has a fun comment over here. He says, when is it not damp in Manchester? Yeah, I call it Rainchester because we all know that once it starts raining, it can go south real quick, like with respect to any sort of sport happening, apart from football, because you can still play in rain. But as Varun pointed out, the over rates might actually really play a big role over here, because we got a result in the previous test match and England also got docked 2 points. But if the over rate is shit with rain around, surely we won't get a result then.
Nah, unless basketball... unless we see like a combination of gumball and baseball together.
Or jazz ball. But anyway.
Yeah. Or bear ball, as Jared calls it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so it's a draw from both of us. That's our prediction. Leave your predictions in the comment section as well. And thank you for all of your comments in general. All of your interactions, they are valued. And for that super chat that came as well. And just a quick reminder, you guys can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of our team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And just to repeat myself from earlier, these podcasts are powered by our supporters on Patreon, and you can become one by going to patreon.com/goodareaspodcast, and then you can enjoy ad-free content, talk to us exclusively, chat about life, suggest a topic for a podcast, anything that you want to do, you can. It's a really, really fun community. So yeah, that's it for today. Have a good one, guys. Enjoy the test match. Take care of yourselves. And let's all hope that the rain stays away. That's all for now, folks. See you later and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.